Good afternoon. I'd like to bring the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency to order. I've got some work sessions in front of us and a public hearing. It's my intent to do the public hearing last. Just an announcement for those interested, we will not be moving House Bill 4118 today. So you can take that off the agenda. And we're going to start with House Bill 4122. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 4122. Jan, if you could give us a brief description of 4122 and maybe a longer description of the two amendments, the Dash 4s and the Dash 7s.
I will, Mr. Chair, committee members. The Dash 4 and the Dash 7 will affect the bill in the following ways. It's going to require state contracting agencies and public corporations to obtain quality management services from a qualified contractor on an IT initiative. It was called an IT procurement in the original bill. On those that are exceeding $5 million or if the initiative meets three or more specified criteria. Also allows the contracting agency or the public corporation to procure preliminary quality management services if the IT initiative meets the standards described above or if otherwise it's believed that the preliminary quality assurance services will enable it to conduct a successful procurement. Provides an exemption from the requirement that the state contracting agency not accept a bid or a proposal from a contractor that assisted in developing the specifications, the documents for bid or proposal for certain quality management services. Also requires state contracting agency or the public corporation to consult with the DAS director and follow DAS policies to determine the extent of quality management services required for the IT initiative. Requires the contractor, when submitting a report to the contract administrator, to also send the report to the CIO, the DAS director, and, as appropriate, the director of the contracting agency. And that one specific provision is the Dash 4 amendment. It also requires compliance with specified tax laws of the state and local subdivisions of the state. It requires the bidder or proposer to submit an affidavit attesting compliance with applicable tax laws of the state. Becomes operative July 1, 2014, declares an emergency. There is no revenue impact on the Dash 4 or the Dash 7. There is a fiscal statement issued for both the Dash 4 and the Dash 7.
Thank you. So, Representative Nathanson, would you like to come up and just give us a, I guess from your perspective, you've been working with us on this bill, and kind of get us up to speed with some of the latest changes. I know the committee that some of them have come just recently, so it's thank you for being here, and if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I'm Nancy Nathanson, State Representative from House District 13. The amendments that you see, the amended language, address things that we raised with you in the previous hearing, and we promised that we were going to be continuing to work on fine-tuning a few things that we knew were important enough to include, and that's what we're bringing to you with the amendments. We are making sure that there are more eyes on this report. One of those amendments describes who all is going to get this. We're telling the agencies and the public corporations covered by this statute there will be oversight through third-party contracts. We're watching, and even more importantly, there will be more eyes on this project. There will be more sets of eyes watching what you're doing. It not only getting copies of the report, but making sure that the report is received simultaneously by the agency, by the chief information officer, by the board of directors, by all of those entities described in here, that they will get the report simultaneously to ensure that the same information is provided to all parties. We also are making it clear that when we're thinking about an IT project, sometimes there's more than one contract because you're working with more than one vendor, or with the same vendor, it's split into, you know, a phase one, a phase two, and so forth. So the language that you're looking at, I believe, refers to either an initiative or contract or set of contracts. That's to address this issue of don't try to split something up into little pieces so that it can avoid oversight. We're going to look at, if it's more than one contract, the set, we're going to make sure that there's quality assurance on the set of contracts because it's the project that we're concerned about, not just the dollar size of an individual contract that was part of a larger initiative. So that's the total of what we're doing. We want to say to agencies, there's no more glossing over details. There's no more just hoping things turn out for the best, and no more ignoring warning signs. Someone's going to be watching. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any questions? Representative Kenny Geyer.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Nathanson. I think this is a fantastic bill, and I think you've worked really hard to address all the different places where there could be leakage in any way. I'm really, really happy about this bill, and just wanted to also point out, as perhaps partly as a question, but also to establish legislative intent, it says the contractor will provide a written report to all those different entities that you talked about, and I'm assuming a written report could include a preliminary report as well as a final report, because what we don't want to happen is a preliminary report gets sent and the agency that is being audited says, oh, well, we're going to fix these things. So the way I read it here provides a written report. That would mean any time it's providing a written report, it would include preliminary as well as final.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kenny Geyer, you're correct. It does not exclude it's not limiting to a particular type of report, such as final report. It is not limiting. Right. I'm not an attorney, and I'm not in the business of interpreting these things. But, yes, my intent would be a report is a report. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other questions? Not seeing any.
So do we do these individually?
Yes.
Okay. Chair Hovey, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 4122 dated February 7th, 2014.
Representative Lively moves the adoption of the Dash 4 amendment to House Bill 4122 dated 2714. Discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Not seeing any. The Dash 4s are adopted.
Chair Holby, I move we adopt the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 4122 dated February 12, 2014.
Representative Lively moves that we adopt the Dash 7 amendment to House Bill 4122 dated 2-12-14. Discussion on that amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Seeing none, Dash 7s are adopted.
Chair Hovey, I move House Bill 4122 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 4122 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Nick, could you give us a roll call, please?
Representative
Megan Peterson?
Aye.
Representative
Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Kenny
Geyer?
Strong aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4122 is passed to the floor, and Representative Nathanson, would you like to carry this bill on the floor? Record show Representative Nathanson will carry the bill. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 4122. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 4103. So, committee, if you remember correctly, I'll let Jan explain this bill. This one's about the possessory liens, and we're looking at the Dash 3 amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jan, if you could give us a description, please.
The Dash 3 replaces the original measure. It requires a lien claimant when providing notice of foreclosure sale to provide the lien debtor and persons with security interest copies of the records that are evidence for the basis of the lien when the chattel is a motor vehicle, a boat, or an aircraft. Provides that failure to give the lien debtor or persons with security interest notice of the foreclosure sale, that is an unlawful trade practice. And it deletes provision that allows the security interest to remain attached to the vehicle when it's sold at a foreclosure sale when the lien claimant fails to provide notice to the person with the security interest. And there is no revenue impact on the Dash 3. There's a minimal fiscal impact with no statement issued.
So just a little background, committee, on this bill. Of course, as you know, we've had a few stakeholder meetings, and the Dash 2 amendment still did not have the support from a couple of automobile dealer representatives, and we wanted to continue that conversation but decided to take Section 2 out of that, and that's what the Dash 3 reflects, so that we can move forward with the Dash 3 and continue the conversation on the Senate side. I know there's still some angst over the methodology of the UTPA being used, but that was what the work group sort of suggested, even though, you know, there were some hemming and hawing about that. And for that, I'll invite Mr. Fuller up.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Darrell Fuller on behalf of the Northwest Auto Trades Association and the Oregon Vehicle Dealers Association. The Dash 3 amendments are better than the Dash 2 amendments. Still not in a condition where we're comfortable supporting it, but we do believe that it's important to continue the conversation, and are certainly willing to hold our breath and wait till we get over the Senate side and continue to work on it. And the primary objection to the UTPA is that the purpose of the UTPA is to give consumers an avenue of redress against businesses. It's not designed for business-to-business conflicts, and that's primarily what a lot of this is the credit unions having concerns about not being notified on the sale of vehicles that have been taken out of possessory lien. So we think that's an inartful solution, but we do think that we're close to getting a solution. One of the other issues that the credit unions are primarily concerned about is ensuring that they get attorney's fees when there is a cause of action. Not terribly excited about that, but more happy with that than we would be with the UTPA. And so we'll continue to have the discussions on the Senate side if the committee chooses to move the bill forward.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure you got your chance. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm way out over my skis on this question. I don't even know who can answer this, but I need to ask this question, okay? So if, and you may not be the right person, but let me just throw
I'm
it out.
I'm quite certain I'm not. Go ahead.
So we've got a vehicle, and I'm going to say a credit union lends against it and files with the DMV, gets her name on the title. A couple months later, there's a mechanic's lien. Who has senior position on the vehicle?
The mechanic's lien.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, the chair is correct. When you have a whether it's a mechanic or a tower or somebody else, if the vehicle, we have possession of the vehicle and we file a lien against it, we're primary.
Even though a prior lien was filed by the credit union when they financed the vehicle?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, that's correct.
And that was one of the purposes of this bill coming forward. And in fact, if the dealer was then to foreclose on that lien, on that mechanic lien, You would think that the credit union's lien would, you know, come into play, but it does not. And these types of possessory liens, they just lose their interest in the automobile completely. And so that's why we want to make sure of a foreclosure sale that the interest holders, security interest holders in the vehicles, get notified. And so that's a big piece of it. That's the piece that's left in the dash three, is ensuring that that notification takes place. And if it doesn't, then the subsequent lien holder would have some sort of remedy, which doesn't exist today.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, and the obverse of that coin is, if it were the reverse and the financing company had primary, then you would have repair shops all over the place not wanting to repair a vehicle that was either a lease or that had a bank note on it, because we would have no interest at all if we repaired the vehicle and they walked away. All we could do is sell it and give the money to the credit union. We'd get nothing at all.
Yeah, and so that perspective, Mr. Chair, but at the same time, if you've got a lender out there who's first in time, you would think they'd be first in line.
But right. Mr. Chair, I think the legal principle behind that is possession is 9/10 of the law. So
I would just.
That's a lot simpler.
I'm not sure I agree with his take on why mechanic liens take precedence, but it's basically a protect. And I think initially that exists in real property as well, labor liens, to make sure the workers are getting paid for the work they do.
Sure.
Primary first.
Interesting.
And so I think that's the basis of it, but I didn't look up the history, so don't quote me.
Only the lien debtor can file under the UTDA, not the credit union. So it's not right. Business to business.
Right. And so the committee administrator pointed out that only the lien debtor can file under the UTPA, not the credit union. So, anyway, we have more discussions on that piece, too. So, anyway, I appreciate your willingness to keep talking about this, and we'll sort it out, hopefully.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Do we have a motion on the dash three?
Yes, we do. Chair Hovey, I move we adopt the dash three amendment to House Bill 4103, dated 2/11/2014.
Representative Lively moves we adopt the dash three amendment to House Bill 4103, dated 2/11/2014. Need more discussion on the dash three? Is there any objection to adopting the dash three? Seeing none, so adopted.
Chair Hovey, I move House Bill 4103 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 4103 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, Nick, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Baker Peterson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Excused.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 4103 is passed to the floor. And anybody feel comfortable carrying this?
I'll do it.
Representative Lively.
I'd love to, yes.
Thank you.
Big rush.
Representative Lively will carry the bill. Close the work session on House Bill 4103. And open a work session on House Bill 4102. So, Jan, could you bring us up to speed on House Bill 4102?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, committee members, this is a measure about the student financial aid. The committee earlier adopted the Dash 4 amendment, which replaces the original measure. and it prohibits a public or private school from entering into contracts with a third party to provide disbursement and management services of the student financial aid funds unless the following requirements are met. They have to provide clear and concise disclosure of the fee schedule before the student agrees to use an account offered by the third party. They have to explain all methods available to the student to access their financial aid. There has to be an ability for the student to choose to receive financial aid through a paper check or an electronic funds transfer. You have to require the paper check be sent or the electronic funds transfer be initiated at no cost to the student within 3 business days of the student's request. And it prohibits charging a student a fee per transaction. This is a swipe fee for making a debit or a similar transaction using a debit card. And it prohibits any provision that allows for revenue sharing. There's no revenue impact on the Dash 4, and a fiscal statement has been issued on the Dash 4.
Thank you, committee. And I will say that we today received a Dash 5, and I think we have it at the dais somewhere.
We have copies. It's not out. If you would like us to distribute it.
It's not my intent to move the Dash 5s. We don't have paperwork on it. We just got it today. It did come from Mr. Okulich, and I think he's wanting to take that Dash 5 up on the Senate side. But like I said, we don't have the ability to move the Dash 5. So, Representative Doherty.
It's more kind of a comment than a question. Two things with this. I'm going to support the bill, and hopefully it'll be dealt with on the other side. But the student request for a check, I would hope that it wouldn't be 3 days after you request it, but I think that the money needs to be in the account before you request a check. And that's just hopefully goes without saying that you don't write a check on an account that you don't have any money on. And then second of all, I still have problems with the swiping thing, and I think it's more of a generational issue where that's now replaced cash. And so it's used quite a bit, and I think that that's something that I don't know if all of the banking industry is going to look at this, but I think that it's something that you need to look at, and hopefully they'll look at it on the other side. So that's just a comment.
Representative Thatcher.
Yeah, I was probably on board with the Dash 1s for sure. I really hesitate on the 2s and 3s, but now they're all together, but nobody asked me. I'm sure it's going to move anyway, but I also am given pause because they're going to be talking about doing something with federal rules. I mean, so nationwide they'd be changing things. But I think as an interim step, the Dash 1s would have been an appropriate and, you know, rather non-controversial move to make. So,
thank you. Other discussion? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, could we revisit the fiscal impact? What is the official fiscal on the Dash 4s that you have from LFO?
You should have it before you. Let me read the paragraph that is the meat of the fiscal. Mm-hmm. The Dash 4 amendment would prohibit agreements providing for revenue sharing agreements between the parties based on the balances or the count activities on the student financial aid provided by the financial aid management firms. This would require universities that have a current contractual relationship with financial aid management firms to renegotiate their contracts to conform to the requirements of the bill. The fiscal impact of these changes and the magnitude of the impact to the universities will be unknown until renegotiation has occurred. Community colleges anticipate there may be a substantial fiscal impact due to the provisions of this bill, but the full extent is unknown.
I guess the key words in there would be there's an anticipation of a significant fiscal impact, which I don't think is really reflected in the indeterminate fiscal that officially is the LFO. In fact, I've got some of the documentation dating back to the Dash 2s, which are very similar to the Dash 4s, where under the written analysis, you know, and again, this is agencies don't oftentimes understand some things outside of their area that they're familiar with, but it says this bill does not impact CCWD, which is correct. CCWD would be the umbrella of the governance over the colleges, but it does says it only impacts community colleges. And then it goes on to say that community college representing that there will be a large fiscal impact because of this prohibition on the third-party entities here. The financial aid firm's cost would be included in the contract what the college is in upfront charges. So there's no question that the charges, the impact of the colleges will go up. And we all know it's a zero-sum game out there. You know, colleges have tuition, and they have state financial aid that allows them to operate. Their costs go up. Tuition's going to have to go up, too. So, I mean, I have every sympathy in the world for making college affordable. And obviously, in my work on the Higher Ed Committee and all the other work we do in our world, we're doing everything possible to try to make the cost of our tuition and access to higher ed as affordable and as available as possible. But I can't see how this bill is going to help that. So I will be a no.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I will say that I think that the fiscal impact is indeterminate, and I think the assumption that they won't be able to have contracts and this is going to cause a huge increase is not substantiated and is likely not to have a fiscal impact as it is to have one. I think looking into the future, it has a fiscal. If the bill were to pass, it would lessen the charge to students, and you know, I think as far as providing better access to education, students' one of their big challenges is affordability. So, I think it's that particular fee. I think can be accounted for in their contracts if. The financial firm wants to maintain their profitability at the current level in conducting these services for schools and students. They'll adjust in some other manner, whether it's in the contract up front or by adjusting some other fee. But this fee, as we looked around the state of Oregon, we could not find any financial firms that had a swipe fee. The swipe fee, as Representative Thatcher has pointed out, is being looked at by the U.S. Department of Education, though we see no compelling reason to wait for them to make this decision on financial firms. Our bill is not making those decisions on financial firms. We're making the decision about what our schools do within the contract. So I think it's completely appropriate that we move this direction. So we have a difference of opinion there, I'm sure. So with that, do we have a motion?
Yes, we do. Chair Hovey, I move House Bill 4102 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves House Bill 4102 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, Nick, can we have a roll call vote?
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Excused.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Chair Holden?
Aye.
House Bill 4102 is passed to the floor. Carrier, anybody interested in carrying this? Representative Vega Peterson, thank you. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 4102. We will stand in recess. like to reconvene the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency and entertain a motion to suspend the rules to allow Representative Richardson to vote on House Bills 4102, 4122, those are the only two?
And
4103. And 4103.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules for purposes of allowing Representative Richardson to vote on House Bill 4102, 4122, and 4103.
He actually did vote on 4122. You were not
present.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I'll take that back.
So he
I'll
takes that back.
4103. You can't vote twice.
Right
anyway,
so. Sorry. We have suspended the rules. Representative Richardson, how do you vote on House Bill 4102, which is the private post-secondary institutions of education entering into contracts with student financial aid management firms and with some certain criteria?
I vote no.
Representative Richardson votes no. And on, what was the other one you missed?
4103, the liens.
So the possessory lien bill, House Bill 4103, Representative Richardson, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
He votes aye.
Thank you.
With that, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 4030. Jan, give us a brief description of House Bill 4030, please.
It's a measure that establishes a 15-member task force on information technology project accountability that sunsets the task force when the 2016 regular session begins, declares an emergency effective on passage. There's no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued.
Thank you. Welcome to our committee.
Good afternoon, honorable colleagues and the wise and all-knowing Chair Holden. For the record, my name is Tim Freeman. I'm a state representative from House District 2, which is parts of Douglas, Josephine, and Jackson County. I'm serving my third and final term here in the legislature. So today I bring you House Bill 4030. The intent of this bill is pretty focused, and it's meant to do only one thing. I'm not going to read you the whole bill, but there is one section out of it that I want to be the takeaway. So what this bill would do is would be to seek, and if you read down to line 30, seek options and recommendations from a wide range of experts as to best practices for procurement, contract administration, quality management, project management, and other practices that will ensure consistently successful implementation of information technology projects. Now, this bill is not meant to be in any way focused at one particular information technology project failure. Some of you that have been here a while may know, and this is the short list, there's a much longer list that we've had looking back as far as the DMV fiasco, OWIN, which is the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network, eCourt, MMIS, the Employment Department, and, of course, the current problem we're having. There has to be something we're doing wrong to have every single major IT project that the state of Oregon tries to undertake to have some degree of failure. And what I'm hoping to do with this bill is not to particularly assess blame or point fingers, but to honestly look back at all these projects and say, what is it we're doing wrong? The likelihood of getting every single one wrong is just about the same percentage likelihood as getting every single one right. So there must be something we're doing either legislatively, whether it's the way we bid out projects, or something that's happening that causes these failures. Now, I know there's several other bills being presented. You heard one earlier today. It's an oversight bill that Representative Nathanson's doing. This is not to be conflicting with anything else that's trying to be done, and that may very well be the only part that's needed. My sense is if we just do an oversight after the bidding and after we've gone through the process of the legislation, we may be missing something a little bit bigger that we need to be looking at. I also know Senate President Courtney has a bill to work on IT stuff, and again, this is not meant to get in the way of that or to be any sort of conflict of that, but really to get the right people in the room, take the time to look back, look at audits or problems, and try to find that common thread of failure that's been created. Moving forward, legislators really only have two options when it comes to major IT projects. You have the option of saying, hey, we don't have the capacity to do this, so we vote no, and some of us have done that. Or you have the option of, you know, sort of putting your head in the sand and saying, well, let's try it and see what happens. Those are two false choices. There has to be some level of expectation the legislature has moving forward to feel good about using information technology and innovation to make government more efficient. I think all of us can agree that there has to be a pathway forward. This bill is meant to find that pathway. Again, it's not meant to be political. It's not meant to assess blame. It's meant to honestly take the time between now and maybe the 15th session or even the 16th session and get it right. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Representative Doherty.
So, Representative Freeman, so the idea is maybe when all of these are brought together, there might be some sort of a common thread of this went wrong or this went wrong, and then to go through and instead of, again, I like that you're not, you know, assigning blame, but then take this and improve.
Yeah, Chair Holvey and Representative Doherty, absolutely. I mean, the likelihood of every single one of those projects failing in some degree for a different reason, I think is pretty slim. Just statistically, I think you'd find that there's got to be a common thread throughout the failures. And I think what happens is we all work in a very politically charged atmosphere, so it's really easy to want to blame and assess and point fingers and all those things that go on when a failure occurs, and then we move on to the next one. So the idea is to look back and, you know, back when maybe things aren't quite as fresh or as heated at some of those projects that were quite a while ago and say, what happened? Mm-hmm. I happened to sit on the subcommittee, Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means when the Owen project was being presented, and we just simply were misled. And maybe that's what the problem is. Of course, we found out after the legislative session that what we were being told wasn't right. So there's something that's going on or a combination of things that I think will rise to the top if we get the right people in the room and look at it. And if you look at the makeup, and somebody's asked me, well, how come you have, you know, these department heads? Well, as you might know and remember, when something fails in any of these areas, it's the department head that has to sit here in front of you mm-hmm. and say, I don't know. And really the idea is that the department heads are the most accountable to the governor and the legislature. So they should be part of finding this solution.
Other questions? Representative Vega Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. Hello there. So I'm very interested in information technology projects. That's my background. I currently sit on the, along with Representative Thatcher, on the Joint Audits and Information Management and Technology Committee. So we have something in place in a legislative manner to whose job it is to review and kind of have oversight on this. That said, there's been historically an issue with finding people who are willing to sit on this committee. In fact, that committee is supposed to be two committees, an audits committee and information management and technology committee. But for the first time, I think we're taking steps in the good direction, because for the first time during a session, this committee is still convening instead of just being an interim. And I think the plan is to continue that going forward. So can you just talk about why, you know, we have certain things already in place that, you know, whose purpose is, one of the purposes is to take a look at information technology projects that are happening in the state. You know, why the need for the additional bill?
Thank you, Chair Holvey and Representative Vega Peterson. I guess the short answer is because what we're currently doing doesn't work. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just that's the fact. My major in college was computer systems engineering technology. The latest issue we're working on happened to come through a subcommittee that I was serving on in Ways and Means, and there was quite a bit of analysis done, but the decision to move forward was such that the people that maybe were advising us didn't really maybe weren't completely honest with the scope of the problem or how big of the project was. So what we have in place now is not meant to go away. This bill doesn't say for that to go away. Maybe what comes out of this group is that the group, you know, the committee you serve on needs to have more oversight and more authority and maybe pull that away from the Ways and Means process where the dollars are assigned, and then it's easy for somebody to come back and report to you all, but as long as the dollars have been spent, it's really hard to pull it back. So, you know, maybe there's some combination that comes out of this that talks about making sure that oversight committee does have a little more authority. But the current system, again, I mean, the short answer is whatever it is we've been doing and are doing now hasn't been working.
Other questions? Comments, Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Freeman. You and I had talked about DHS last year and the debacle with ORCID's technology, and I'm just curious as to why they're not here. I think part of the whole Cover Oregon issue was that they were trying to incorporate a lot of what DHS wanted to do at the same time, which overcomplicated it.
Well, I agree, and I'm happy to add more people to the table. They weren't intentionally left out. It was, I think having them, more people there, the better. So I'm sorry, Chair Holvey, Representative Kenny Geyer. It was not intentional leaving anybody out. It was really trying to get the right people at the table. So as DHS is really our next big thing to tackle, they're, you know, nine different systems that don't talk to each other within their organization, that some are older than any technology that any of us have ever seen, is definitely something that has to be taken on. But again, I'm afraid as you guys get to see that in 2015, that proposal, your choices are going to be, yeah, go ahead and try it with no expectation of it succeeding. So I'm happy to add them and make sure they're at the table also.
Yeah, I know that Representative Freeman. I really appreciate the intent of this legislation. I agree with you that we've had some technology struggles, and I think the last since the last couple of years anyway, the legislature has been incrementally trying to figure out how to deal with that, and I think the governor's office. I know as Barry Peck is in here as well, but is really taking a close look. And I mean, I think that was kind of the CIO is sort of the genesis of starting this kind of more expertise looking at these issues, and certainly the CIO is. Bill that we just passed is, implementing a team to really go through these projects, and we've got 4122 that's requiring quality assurance, and so we're really going down this path right now, and and we have this other committee. I don't want to be real duplicative. I want to go ahead and send this forward, but I do have some concerns that we're going to end up with a lot of duplicative efforts, and how we get those put back together. Anyway, I just think it needs a little more. I tried to have discussions with some leadership about this proposal, and if they would allow me to go ahead and send it down to Ways and Means, where it has its subsequent, so it can be in the mix of conversation down there. So that's going to be my intent. I'm probably going to move it without recommendation at this point, which is not really something you would probably like to see, but I want to get it down there so they can continue to have conversations and give you an opportunity to have conversations with leadership about this proposal as well. And, because I think we really need to work with our new CIO. We got a brand new CIO that's starting to peel back this onion as well. So,
thank you, Chair Holvey, for mentioning all the other efforts, because I do know there's a variety of efforts going on. Again, this seeks to bring in both the legislature and the executive branch and not rely exclusively on the executive branch. So I appreciate that the CIO and the work that they're going to do there is meant to help the legislature have some level of confidence in what's going to happen moving forward. I think there's a component of bringing everybody together to do the look back.
Right.
It would be helpful for everybody to feel comfortable moving forward.
Well, as they're figuring out how to divvy up all this extra money we got, we'll we're going to send this one down there to be in the mix.
Well, and I won't make the pitch for the dollars, but the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been wasted doing it wrong would tell me the amount of money spent to do it right would be very minimal compared to what we've been doing.
No disagreement here. Thank you very much. No, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As this goes forward, and I fully support the idea of us having a plan to make it work, I hope that we can deal also with the reality of those that ignore information, because I was just reminded as I looked at the September 24th, 2013 note from Rocky King on Cover Oregon, that Cover Oregon is open for business on October 1st. And they knew full well it wasn't going to work. I mean, it's like saying on October 1st, we're going to flip the light switch, but there's no wiring in the walls, but we'll flip the light switch. Because our goal, he goes on to say, is to make the customer experience as easy and as seamless as possible. Well, that's just not honest. They knew it wasn't there. They knew it a year beforehand. And so it's great to have in place the mechanisms to show what's going on. And then we have to deal with the reality of those who refuse to accept what the quality assurance team has given.
Again, and Mr. Chair Holvey and Representative Richardson, the idea is not any specific. I can give that same example with the Owen Project. I sat on the subcommittee when the director of the Owen Project showed us maps of constructed cell towers. The fact was none of them had been constructed yet. So we have the same situation there. So I think that is a component of what needs to be looked at. I think, again, making sure that we're looking at everything in the context of what's gone wrong. I think we're going to find there is those times when maybe the legislature's misled or not given the full explanation of what's going on. And I think that will be a component, and I know Representative Nathanson's oversight bill seeks to start kind of getting to that too, but I would much rather figure out how we do it right from the beginning than how we either punish or assess blame or stop things once they've been done wrong. So really this is about looking at, you know, whether it's the scope of projects, whether it's the bidding, whether it's the way we do public bidding, there's something there that's creating this almost automatic assumption of failure. And I'm hopeful, again, whether it's through this vehicle or others, that we get to that point of feeling very comfortable as legislators when we vote on information technology, that the taxpayer is getting to get something at the end. In other words, when you flip the switch, it's going to work. And that's really where, you know, we want to be. So with that, I'll stop.
Yeah. And again, I don't disagree with you. You know, sometimes we hire, you know, vendors and experts, and we put our faith in those contracts. And when those vendors don't deliver, you know, it puts us in a difficult spot because, IT, as both you and Representative Vega Peterson know, is a pretty specialized and technical world that most legislators don't really know a lot about. Maybe I shouldn't say that. At least this legislator doesn't know a lot about. You know, having the right people in place, that's why I'm excited that we have a chief information officer now that has that expertise. You know, I think we're moving in the right direction. I'm going to continue talking about this piece too, because we do have a lot of moving parts on information technology right now, and we need to sit down and really pull in all the pieces and see where each of them fit in. So
thank you.
I appreciate your interest, and I really do appreciate your passion for trying to help the state get this thing right.
Thank you.
Representative Lively.
We're not in open session right now, right? We have to close the public hearing.
Oh, yeah. You're catching on. Any other questions, comments, discussion? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 4030. And open a work session on House Bill 4030.
Okay, thank you. Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 4030 to the floor without recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Lively moves that we move House Bill 4030 to the floor without recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion on the motion? Nick, can you give us a vote, please?
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Representative
Smith?
Aye. Representative Kenny Guyer?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Excused.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Chair Holvey?
Aye. House Bill 4030 is moved to the committee, passes out of committee. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 4030. Anything left on our agenda, Jan?
No, we've made it clear that that's not being heard. Right?
Not today.
Okay. That's, you've done them all.
Carry it forward. So with that, committee, thank you. We've met our chamber deadline. Thank you for your attention and hard work and helping us move a few bills for the rest of the legislature to consider. So with that, I'll adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency.